From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan says his country is facing the biggest crisis since World War II. He's doubled the number of troops being dispatched for rescue and relief to 100,000, and he's calling on his countrymen to pull together.
I am confident that the Japanese people can be united to work together to weather this difficulty.
Japanese officials are still scrambling to control the impact of damaged cooling systems at several nuclear power plants. NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports the troubles are growing.
The International Atomic Energy Agency says that officials at the Fukushima Daiichi plant are pumping in seawater to try to control reactor number 3, which may have had a partial meltdown. Officials assume that kind of meltdown already occurred at reactor number 1, though they say the core's steel containment vessel is intact. Also, there is concern about the potential for another hydrogen explosion, like the one that happened at reactor number 1. Meanwhile, the Onagawa nuclear complex up the coast has reported an increase in radiation levels in the area surrounding the plant. Experts are investigating to find the source of this increase. The reactors there are reported to be under control. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
In Libya, rebel fighters are falling back from the eastern oil port of Brega. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports it marks another advance for the better-equipped forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi.
Reports from the front described groups of rebels climbing into cars and trucks and retreating in the direction of Ajdabiya, now the farthest west city still under rebel control. Pro-Gaddafi forces are continuing their intensified barrage against the largely volunteer rebel force using tanks, artillery, and fighter jets. The rebels have found it impossible to overcome the superior firepower of the pro-Gaddafi forces, and some speculated that Gaddafi is moving quickly now before the international community can intervene. Rebel leaders and many foreign governments welcomed the Arab League's decision yesterday to call on the UN Security Council to approve a no-fly zone over Libya, but that is still likely to take several days, and it's not clear what the situation on the ground will be by then. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
U.S. lawmakers continue to wrangle over how to reduce the federal budget. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer tells NBC's Meet the Press Democrats agree cuts need to be made, but
we can't cut into our seed corn. We can't cut into the things that help America grow and create jobs, like education or cancer research or food safety, things like that.
But Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Republicans will only support a budget that includes major spending cuts.
Cutting spending and job creation are not mutually exclusive. In fact, we believe reducing government spending is actually helpful to get the private sector going again.
McConnell spoke on Fox News Sunday. This is NPR News. Israel is giving the go-ahead for 500 new settler homes in the West Bank. The approval comes a day after a family of Jewish settlers was killed in their home. From Jerusalem, Linda Gradstein reports the move threatens to further complicate stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace efforts.
The new homes will be built in 4 Jewish settlements that Israel says it wants to keep, even if a peace deal is reached with the Palestinians. The U.S. has sharply condemned the expansion of Jewish settlements in the West Bank. Israel announced the new homes after 5 members of one family, 2 parents and 3 children, were killed in a stabbing attack late Friday night. Settlers have called for revenge against Palestinians, who they blame for the attack. The Palestinian Authority condemned the attack. There were reports of Jewish attacks on Palestinian property. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called on Jewish settlers to show restraint. For NPR News, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
In Bahrain's capital today, pro-democracy demonstrations turned violent. Police used tear gas, rubber bullets, and water cannon against protesters who were blocking the main highway into Manama's financial district. Today's clashes come on the heels of Defense Secretary Robert Gates' visit yesterday when he urged Bahrain's leaders to move toward democratic reforms. Anti-government groups in Yemen rallied again today in the capital Sana'a, trying to bring an end to President Ali Abdullah Saleh's 32-year rule. At least one person was killed and several were injured when police and government supporters fired live rounds and tear gas into a crowd of protesters at Sana'a University. Clashes are also reported in the southern port city of Aden. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.